a bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't tell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trailer? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 24 of God Hates Comics.
We've made it this far, gentlemen.
The only podcast in existence about the comics that God hates.
We're through the looking glass.
We're not dead yet, but I have almost died a couple times.
All of us have, I think, at this point.
As it happens.
Shit does happen.
But naturally, I'm Andrew as always.
And I'm actually Dusty today.
Cuervo's back.
Cuervo's
here.
Back.
All right. Fuck Vince.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Cuervo.
Fuck
I never did fucking like that guy.
Fuck you. Vince is back.
Damn it.
Damn it, Dusty. We were almost free and you had to fuck it up.
It's what I do best.
You
shit all over everything.
Not literally. I hope. This is
well,
my,
I do that
this is my
good.
Room.
Yeah. I don't know, the
but no.
Position you're in.
Alright, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. I got a headache and we got to make this quick, which means it'll only be 2 hours. I want to thank you all for joining us. Naturally, you can get us on Gmail. You can email us, Twitter, Facebook, God Hates Comics. It's all God Hates Comics.
Yes.
At Gmail, at God Hates Comics on Twitter, and Facebook.com/God Hates Comics.
And we are promising to actually start posting things and
we
tweeting
are.
Things.
Shit's
going to happen.
It is. Starting with a contest that we are going to run this week to next week.
Yes.
Starting
this Thursday,
as soon as our podcast goes up,
you all have opportunity to win something from us. Something awesome.
I think we need to go ahead and tell them what it is, because time's running out. This thing's coming up quick. So
that's
I think
true.
What we're going to do is we're just going to have a raffle.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is what we have, actually. Let me introduce what we have. What we have is two passes to Staple. Which is an independent media expo that is in Austin, Texas, at the Marchesa Hall, which is the same place we went to MondoCon in.
Yes, and Staplehead. Uh-huh.
And the last staple. It is March 7th and 8th, I believe I said?
Yes.
Sure.
And it has an excellent lineup. I know we have talked about Lumberjanes a few times on our show, and the creators of Lumberjanes will be there, as well as Katie Cook, Babstar from the new Batgirl.
I love Babstar.
Her art is fucking amazing.
It is March 7th to 8th. It is the Marchesa Hall. It has a Saturday and a Sunday, so you don't even have to take any days off work for this convention.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Babstar is going to be there. Jess Fink is her webcomic, Chester 5000, is a Victorian tale of robot love.
That's a webcomic?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
We've got Janelle Aslan from... Comic Book Resources, Comics Alliance.
She's a comic book editor.
She's a fantastic editor. We've got Kate Leth, who is an illustrator.
Very well known for My Little Pony.
My Little Pony. She's also done Fraggle Rock. She's done some Adventure Time graphic novels, and she's doing the new Edward Scissorhands miniseries.
Yeah, she is.
She's also
writing that, actually.
Lumberjanes. That's going to be Grace Ellis and Brooke Allen. And, yes. Brooke Allen and Grace Ellis from Lumberjanes. You said the creative team will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Also...
Yeah,
Shannon Waters, who is a co-creator and senior editor at Boom Studios, and then Dean Tripp, who is the creator of the superhero parody webcomic Butterfly, and he's an illustrator at Oni Press's Power Lunch.
And our friends Fabian Rangel Jr. will also be there. Rangel, I guess.
Rangel.
Yeah,
and,
I always say that wrong. Sorry, Fabian.
Fortunately,
Ryan Cody
will not be there.
Yeah,
which is
sad.
Dusty, very sad. But either way, it's a great lineup of people, especially if you're really a big fan of...
And just to promote our friends here, Isaiah Broussard will also be there, and so will Jesse Jordan and Jamie Kanosian.
Yes.
So, we've got the local Houston...
Basically, the best people in Houston are going to be there.
Yes.
Outside us. No, we'll be... Some of us will be there.
I might be there. So, the best people in Houston...
But either way, you can check out more information...
Person. Yeah, the best person in Houston.
The best person in Houston. Well, that's me, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll go back to people.
Anyway,
staple-austin.org.
Staple-austin.org, and you can find location information, you can find guest information, you can find hotels, all that. It's on the website. But the thing is, it's coming up fast. It's March 7th and 8th, So if you are interested in going, you want to go, you want to check it out, we have two passes. We do not have an all-expenses-paid trip, unfortunately, but it's just in Austin, which is less than 3 hours away.
They're two two-day passes, correct?
Yes, I believe yes. so. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it simple. You email us at godhatescomics@gmail.com. We will take all of the entries.
Or you can tweet us.
Or tweet us.
Yes.
Basically, you can get us on any of our social media.
You email us, you hit us up on Facebook, you can post on our wall.
You can post on our wall, send us a message, send whatever.
You tweet at us, and all you have to do...
Specifically what the message we want to go to Staple.
We want to go to Staple. You tell us that you want to go to Staple, and you're entered into the raffle. At the end of it all, we'll take everybody's name, we'll put it all in a hat, and we'll draw a name.
We'll draw a name. Well, not live, but, you know, next.
And it'll be on next. Yeah. We will probably notify the winner before next week's episode so that they can make arrangements. But
exactly.
We will for sure have the winner. We will announce the winner on the show as well.
Yes.
But if you are the winner and you are interested in going, reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
We'll give you until next Wednesday. And then on Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, which will be February 25th?
Something.
Yes.
We'll hear it then.
Email us by noon next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that's 6 days from now. And we'll draw a winner. And if we get no entries, we're not going to tell you. We're going to pretend somebody won instead.
Exactly.
But no, so I want to thank Jesus and Uncle Staple himself for setting us up with this.
Yeah.
And so like I said, if you're interested in going to Staple, contact us. Reach out. And we put that at the beginning of the episode, so if that's all you're interested in, you don't have to listen to the rest. Anyway, so what have we been up to now that we're 6 minutes in?
I watched Kingsman.
How was it?
It's pretty good. I actually really enjoyed it. Wasn't really sure what I was expecting going in, but I left, like I said, really enjoying the movie. It was a lot of fun, and I think it's just more proof that Mark Miller works better when someone else is adapting his freaking work.
Somebody else.
Well, like when Matthew Vaughn is adapting his work.
Well, somebody else.
Kick Ass 2!
Well, Wanted was good.
Exactly.
He didn't do Wanted.
Wanted was okay.
I never understood the love for Wanted.
Yeah.
It was a good movie?
It was okay.
It was a good movie.
Fuck you. It was okay. That was my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you saw Kingsman, and you just bought yourself a big Lego set.
And I just bought myself a big Lego set. I gave myself all of, maybe 12 hours before I caved and just said, fuck it, I'm buying it now.
There was never any doubt.
I actually wanted to do it last night at, 11, because that's when it was supposed to go live, but I forgot. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, shit, I got on Lego.
I wake up and I'm just like, cart. Man, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But
and left it there for 3 hours, thought about it, and bought it.
Nice.
So
I've just come into some money, so I am selling a bunch of my comics, guys. So if you are interested in finding any comics, you can also email us, and I'll hook you up.
Do you have comics? Yes, I do have some.
As for what I've been doing, I bought some of those comics.
You did.
I'm also since Ryan Cody is not going to be at Staple, I am sending him a little money, and I'm getting a commission. So I'm going to
of what.
Doc Unknown and Batman fighting the Joker and Boss Snake.
That's pretty much the coolest thing ever. You should have done Killer Croc and Boss Snake.
Oh, man,
but it's
sense.
The Joker.
That's true.
And I didn't want to... But it's the Joker. And it's Batman. So it's like the main villains. So they're fighting the main villains. God damn.
Did you guys see that cover for the Boss Snake reprint?
From Max Fiomara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Badass. So just so you guys know, Fabian is going to be launching another Kickstarter for Doc Unknown Volume 3.
And I might
3.
Be throwing copious amounts of that so I could own both covers... For the Boss Snake.
How about you get the Fiomara cover and I get the Doc Unknown cover?
No.
Fuck you! God damn it.
Fight for it.
That's
Jesus.
Why I said copious amounts of money so I can get both covers.
Deathmatch! but
it's
no.
You want to be pissing off. It's like Hansel and everybody else.
Fuck Hansel, man! He's so not hot right now.
Yeah.
Hansel.
Fuck this guy.
That's all I hear. Hansel. But no.
He's a good one.
He is. I don't really know him, but I'm going to trust that you're right. I've met him twice. But anyway,
more than me.
So you been up to anything else? Buying some comics? Reading any comics?
Yeah, of course. Southern Bastards number 7.
Man.
I love that fucking comic book.
Southern Bastards is what I live for.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Not literally. I mean, it's not like it's not like I'm literally dying every day until the Southern Bastards comes out and I get my recharge. But it's pretty much one of the best comics I'm reading.
Yes.
And I am gonna. It's one of the only ones I get in singles now.
Yeah. I'm also really enjoying Deep State from Justin Jordan. It's a really cool horror comic.
We should get him on the show.
We should get Justin
Jordan. We do have an interview for you guys later.
We got somebody special. Aha,
the interview gets a little choppy at times. But
yeah, we apologize for that, but it is funny.
Yeah, through the magic of editing, hopefully we'll get it up to speed.
Well, we won't be able to do everything.
Yeah, there's no saving parts of that. But
lag is a terrible thing.
Like happens, you know. We're not going to make a motherfucker repeat every fucking word he says either. So
most of it came through.
Deal with it.
A good chunk of it came through, so we had some really interesting conversations. Either way, shutting up now, guys. We'll have the interview for you later, but it's Ulysses Farinas.
Yes.
And he's got some great comics out right now, and he's got some interesting opinions about some stuff, too, including hating being secret about projects. So, but we'll let him explain that later. But, so what have I been up to?
Not much. We already discussed that.
Did we? No. I
bought your comic books, remember?
You did. You bought my comics. Yeah. And I've been selling a whole lot more of them, too, because I'm moving. So I'm trying to get rid of all of this. It's got to go.
Good fucking luck.
Half price. We'll give me 50 bucks for them. I'll take all at the half price, and they're like, we'll give you $22.62 for all of this.
It's cash, though, so you can just walk out of there and you have cash.
$22.
$22 worth of cash.
I'm probably just going to start putting them on Reddit and be like $1 a book, guys.
Nah, dude, you're not going to sell this shit for $1 a book.
Why not?
Did it sell last time?
I wasn't selling them that cheap.
My God. Well, good luck.
Either way, what else have I been up to? I was watching... I've actually been playing Fables, The Wolf Among Us, on Xbox.
Cool.
The Telltale game based off of the Fables universe. Telltale also does games for Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. And Minecraft. They just announced Minecraft.
I know, they're making a game based on the game.
Like a story mode of Minecraft. And that's actually upset fans of the... There's 5 chapters of The Wolf Among Us. Our good friend Felipe let me borrow it. And there's 5 chapters. And so that's season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have been wondering, when's season 2 coming? Are we going to see a season 2? And the Minecraft announcement pretty much was... became the nail in the coffin for people holding out for season 2 of Wolf Among Us. Because they kind of interpreted the Minecraft, because they are already focusing on Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, because those are probably more popular, honestly.
Yeah, but they're doing Tales from the Borderland, they're doing...
But yeah, basically with their slate, they were like, Wolf Among Us is easily going to be pushed back. It's not a priority, basically. Which is too bad, because it's a mystery, which, you know, is why kind of it's my jam, but... Yeah. I've been having a really fun time with it. When it works, it gets a little laggy and freezy at times. That Xbox One, it's got some bugs.
Might not be the Xbox One. It's probably the game.
It's a disc, though.
Yeah, but it could still be the game. Like, the game itself, the way they made the game. From what I've heard, the Telltale engine isn't exactly the best.
Yeah, like, I've heard there's issues with, like, memory cache and stuff. Like, I've had to hard reset the system a couple of times to get it to work.
Yeah.
So it's been really weird. I'm on the last chapter, though, so I'm probably going to bear maul it after you guys leave. With this headache, because I want to find out what the fuck happens. And then I can cry about the fact that Fables ends, like, in 6 months.
Speaking of video games, I've been playing Grim Fandango.
Pretty good.
The old LucasArts it's not really point and click, but the adventure game.
Yeah.
They remade it for PlayStation.
Strange.
And it's fucking awesome. I mean, cool. It's one of those, like, really old-school adventure games, so the puzzles aren't exactly intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
But, the story's a lot of fun. The art style's great. I mean, it's basically based on like Day of the Dead type skeletons and that kind of imagery. So it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really glad I'm getting a chance to play it, because I played that game back in '98 when it first came out. But I don't know if it was my computer or if it was like a game crashing bug.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, whenever I played the game, I would get to one particular spot,
it would freeze,
and I would look down. Like, the character would look down, and it would freeze. And I, you know, hard reset, whatever, it would always do the same thing at that one spot.
So now you finally get to go past
it. So now I finally, like, it actually kind of did, like, a little stutter thing. I was like, oh, God, it's happening again. And, but, like, it got me through
it. It followed you through all the decades into the same problem.
Yeah.
But so, no, so I've been playing the Wolf Among Us game. I've been enjoying that. I've been watching some Chinese John Woo movies, you know. Better Tomorrow 2, The Killer, Hard Boiled, stuff like that.
Nice.
And I just got in the mail today my Super Sentai Zoo Ranger set from Shout Factory. Not from Shout Factory. But it's basically, I've professed my love for Super Sentai before, and they are some American company for not technically the first time ever.
How
but
do you say that word?
Zoo Ranger.
Okay. Zoo Ranger.
An American company. I actually believe this is the first official subtitle of a Super Sentai show.
Nice.
There's been some Ultraman stuff done, and there's even been a Kamen Rider set that's been done. But nobody has really kind of jumped onto the Super Sentai train yet.
It's amazing.
And it's...
I just opened the box, and Rita Repulsa's in there.
Yeah.
And oh shit, so's a Megazord. It's so Megazord.
Power Rangers.
But yeah, why would they not be there?
Look, man, I'm just wrapping my head around this shit, alright? I wasn't expecting it.
Basically, Zoo Ranger is...
They're on the back. The Power Rangers are on the back.
Fucking
yeah,
Power
it's the Japanese source for what became Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
All they did was take American actors and...
Film out
scenes.
Of suit footage. But no, and that's...
The Yellow Ranger is a boy.
Yeah, named Boy, no less.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I don't remember the girl's name, but the guys are Geki. Prince Geki is the Red Ranger.
Of course.
Boy is the Yellow Ranger. I think Dan's the Blue Ranger, and then I forgot the Black Ranger's name too. But there's Geki, but there's one name. The Yellow Ranger is Boy, literally. And then I just remember either the Black or the Blue Ranger's name is literally Dan.
So you got Geki, Boy, Dan, and Unknown.
What's
the Pink Ranger's name?
I don't remember.
Pink?
Yes. Absolutely.
Don't look it up. I don't care that much.
I'm looking it up because now it's bothering me.
Super Sentai.
But yeah, it's been it's Geki, Gosh is the Black Ranger, and Mai is the Pink Ranger. And then Barai is the Green Ranger.
Hell yeah.
Who spoilers.
No, the Green Ranger's name is fucking Jason, alright?
Oh, you're gonna get all fucking pissy about this? You didn't give
Jason
a fuck about Trini
is
and
the
Boy.
Red Ranger.
I know.
Fuck you. But no,
I fucked up.
You did.
Maybe.
Yes.
I'm a little fucked.
You are lucky in that the Green Ranger's real name is Jason. So you
that's why
didn't quite
up.
Fail out as hard as
His
you
name
thought.
Is Jason. He's real.
But no, well, because I the only existing versions for a lot of that stuff was existing kind of fan subs where they just take the stuff, throw fan subs on it. And so to see a company finally kind of realizing that there is a want for this sort of stuff is kind of cool. I don't know if it's going to lead to anything else. I assume that kind of rests solely on how well this does. But I am hoping that I get an official Kamen Rider Black out of this. Because there's actually a company who did Kamen Rider V3, which is the second full Kamen Rider show in 1973, I think it was. But the set is like $150, and it's like it's all 52 episodes, and it's like 11 discs, but it's $150, and so
that's $3 an episode. No, all
right,
yeah.
What else do we have?
All right, so but either way, I'm going to be watching that. Either way, I'll be watching that and probably talking about it next week. And I've been watching some other basically been immersing myself in Japanese culture the last week with Japanese wrestling as well. So anyway. Japan rules my life right now. But anyway, we have some news to talk about, and then we'll take our break, come back, do our interview, and then wrap things up with our picks of the week and such.
Yeah.
Alright, so we've got dick all for non-Marvel news, so let's just fucking jump into it. DC revealed a new lineup for July's new Suicide Squad number 9. It's going to be Parasite, Black Hand, Poison Ivy, Reverse Flash, Cheetah, and a Talon Assassin. This is the first time since the beginning of the New 52 that Deadshot and Harley Quinn have been a part of the squad, so that's...
Is this the first time since ever that Deadshot's not in it?
Well, yeah. The first time since the beginning of the New 52.
Like, I thought Deadshot was, like, always in the Suicide Squad, though.
He's
like,
pretty much been a staple.
This might be the first time Deadshot's not in it.
I can't speak for that, but...
Either way, speaking of the Suicide Squad... But no, the interesting thing to me about this lineup is, like, This is almost an Injustice League. Like,
pretty much.
That's a Superman villain, a Green Lantern villain, two Batman villains, a Wonder Woman villain, and a Flash villain. Like,
yeah, I really...
All you needed is fucking Black Manta, and it's the Injustice League.
I really feel like they could have replaced Talon, or the Talon Assassin, with, like, Black Manta.
I think Black Manta's on the current team, though.
Maybe.
I smell tacos.
Fucking damn it.
It was tacos.
All right. Anyway, so, like, we try to gracefully transition into... rumor has it that Joel Kinnaman might be up for the role of Rick Flag in the Suicide Squad movie. If you're not familiar with Joel Kinnaman, he played Alex Murphy in the RoboCop reboot, and he's also the star of The Killing.
The Killing, yes, which is another show that lived on thanks to Netflix.
Yeah.
But that one's another hard kind of mystery show. It's very similar to...
hard like mystery or horror mystery?
Hard. Like, hard. Really kind of like the gritty... Like Broadchurch kind of style, where it's a big overarching kind of mystery that they spend the whole season solving, really... one case, kind of like Twin Peaks. But he's good on both those. He was good in RoboCop, he was good in The Killing, so, I mean, if Hardy and Gyllenhaal are both uninterested, I'd say he's a good substitute.
He's good people.
Yeah.
Adrian Palicki has become a series regular in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. As you know...
Good
she,
for her.
As you may know, she plays Bobby Morse, Mockingbird. So she's moving up from recurring character status. She's gonna be in the season opener, or I guess the mid-season opener, and I guess she's gonna be in many more episodes coming up. The Marvel May solicits came out this week. We've got a few titles ending. Uncanny X-Men number 35 and 600, which wraps up the series for now. Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, number 12, is the last issue of Carrie Andrews' awesome run on the book. And Wolverine's, looks like number 17 through 20, is going to be the last story arc. Or at
Thank
least
Christ.
The last four issues. I'm not reading the book. I've heard pretty horrendous things.
It's shit.
All right.
Yeah.
There you
I mean,
go.
I tried. And was like, I made it like half an issue.
Like the people, like, it's, if there is literally a comic that is not living up to the creators, like, I would say this is worse for Soul than Axis was for Remender.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah,
like,
it is, man.
Soul and Fox are so much better than this that the fact it's so bad annoys me.
Do you think this is just maybe, like, editorial? Like,
probably.
You have to write this book if you want to be... If you want to keep
or they were like, you know, we're going to do these 20 issues of Wolverines. You know, DC had, you know, three weekly series at one point, and they were all getting at least solid reviews.
Good,
and,
great.
I mean, coming out well. So Marvel was like, oh, well, we'll do a book called Wolverines, and it'll do great. And I don't think it has been. I don't think that... It's kind of hard to sell a book called Wolverines and Wolverine's not in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like it's so I think
well,
that
it's also hard to sell a book when it's subpar. Like, honestly, if Wolverine was in it, you could probably people would suffer through the bad storytelling.
Yeah, because it's fucking Wolverine.
Yeah.
But when you've got nothing, it's kind of that thing where the art's shaky. It's a rotating art team that don't have a whole lot in common. It's all solid artists, but there's enough differences between them that there's not really a whole lot of continuity. And you get to the point where it's like the story's bad, the art's what's the word? Inconsistent. And you get to the point where, like, well, why do I care? And the answer is you shouldn't. So.
And I guess the real answer is not a lot of people do because the book's gone.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's gone.
20 anyway. Issues, that'll be... It's 6 months, I guess.
Yeah.
No.
That's not bad. No. That's 5 months.
Yeah, five
yeah,
months.
I guess it started in September.
Apparently, they're launching a Hellboy beer. Called the Right Hand of Doom Red Ale, made from Rogue Brewing Company.
Ooh,
here's the question. Are we going to be able to get it? Because I've been trying to get that damn Jason Aaron Tony Moore zombie beer for months, and nobody in Chicago will send it to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna...
Wait, can they send it to you?
Probably not.
Some states don't allow the like mailing of alcohol. Like, you can't mail alcohol out of Texas. It sucks.
Yeah.
Because... What really sucked is that I made a nice bottle of Cherry Jack Daniels and sent it to my girlfriend who lives in California, and guess what didn't make it?
Cherry Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another
she
really
got
unfortunate...
She got a box with some stuff in it, just didn't have the stuff I sent.
Hey, here's another thing to make you really sad.
Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva has failed his second drug test.
What a jerk. Fucking jerk. I was rooting for you, you piece of shit.
Anyway. Also happening in May is the mass exodus of X-Men.
X-Men, all new X-Men, Amazing X-Men, and Spider-Man and the X-Men are wrapping up in April. Uncanny is wrapping up in May, like I just said. So it really seems like there's not that many X-Men books moving forward.
Cyclops is also missing from the solicits.
Yep.
Is Storm in there?
I did see Storm.
So Storm is in there.
Storm's in there.
Magneto's
in there.
I thought Storm was going to be part of the Last Days banner.
I think Storm and Magneto are both Last Days.
Well,
so.
they're not Last Days as of yet. Like, they were in the solicits, but if I remember correctly, they were under, like, Battle World or something. I really don't remember.
Either way, it seems that Marvel may genuinely be pulling something with the X-Men.
Yeah.
It seemed a little strange, but it kind of... It's... Something's happening.
I don't think it's something nefarious... As in, they're doing away with the X-Men, like, completely. Like, they're doing away with
the X-Men. We might be going down to one or two titles a month.
Yeah.
Instead of the four or five.
Well, it could just be that Secret Wars is such an Avengers-driven event that they're just kind of paring things down. Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're paring shit down because they just announced 15 fucking titles coming out.
And they said that one of the books we're going to be getting is going to be 90s X-Men with something else. So, I mean, hopefully they'll announce that soon.
And they have Years of Future Past as another one, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, so moving on from what's been canceled, Marvel revealed, like, 15 books spinning out of Secret Wars, not including Secret Wars 1 and 2 themselves, which would ship in May. Oh, and by the way, I think we had this question some time ago.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Secret Wars is going to be an 8-issue series.
Yeah.
That's
going
to last 6
originally
months.
It was 12.
Yeah, it's going to last 6 months.
It was
going to
be
months.
A year.
Alright, so we've got, I basically broke this up into books that are under Battle World, books that are under War Zones, and books that have unknown branding.
We'll kind of go through these, faster than some for others, because we don't need to spend, 20 minutes.
Alright, so as a reminder, Battle World explores the chaotic political structure of the new planet, which pulls in many pieces from many Marvel Earths, so the first title is Old Man Logan by Brian Michael Bendis and Andrea Sorrentino. This book follows an older Wolverine traveling across the United States that's ruled by supervillains.
It's basically an immediate sequel to the original Old Man Logan.
For the most part. And also, along with this, Sorrentino has signed an exclusivity contract for Marvel.
Good for him.
So that's pretty cool because
contract.
I love... What?
Exclusive contract.
No, it's exclusivity. Like, their words, man. I don't know.
Maybe they're stupid.
Anyway, some of these we've already talked about. Like, the next one, Ultimate End.
What the fuck just happened? Are you just like... anyway.
Either way, like, the next one's Ultimate End, and we already knew about that one.
Yeah, that's
Bendis. We'd heard about Inhumans Atalan Rising, but that is going to be Charles Soule continuing on with his massive retooling of the Inhumans.
Yep.
And that guy's basically steering that ship. He's writing Inhuman... Uncanny Inhumans, and now Inhumans Atalan Rising.
Yeah.
And he's going to be joined on art by John Timms. And this is going to center around a troubled relationship between Black Bolt and Medusa, and the chaos the formation of Battleworld is wrecking on the Inhuman Empire.
Which is kind of funny, because you would think it's wrecking chaos on every fucking thing.
You would think.
But,
Masters of Kung Fu is another one we already knew about.
Hayden Blackman and Dalibor Talajic.
Yeah.
This is a 4-issue series. It's going to center around Shang-Chi and a much different take on Kunlun. Kunlun? Whatever. Iron Fist, Typhoid Mary, Elektra, Kitty Pryde, and others will be reimagined for the series.
Quote, unquote.
So that's kind of neat, which, again, kind of plays into what the fuck are they doing with the X-Men since Kitty Pryde is on that list.
Well, she had ninja training. Makes sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, it makes sense as to why she's in the book, but reimagining that's what I'm talking about.
True.
Alright, so the next titles are under the War Zones banner, which is supposed to take a more insular focus on as they explore the makeup of specific Battle World countries and the heroes that inhabit them. So we've got Secret Wars 2099, written by Peter David and Will Slinny.
Yeah, this is basically, it's going to be a five-issue mini, and it's essentially
immediately continues
Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah. So it replaces that book, and it's expanding its focus to the entire 2099 universe, which introduces a new team of Avengers that's sponsored by Alchemax. We've got Deadpool's Secret Wars, written by Colin Bunn and art by Matteo... and art by Matteo Lolli. This is another miniseries following Deadpool as he is transported back in time to the original Secret Wars conflict. Premise sounds interesting, but I don't give two shits about Deadpool. A-Force.
This is another one we mentioned last week. G. Willow Wilson, Marguerite Bennett, Jorge Molina. It's a new Avengers comic that's going to pull its cast from all corners of the Marvel U, as well as several alternate worlds.
Yeah, I know, like, Jubilee is supposed to be on the team, like, 90s X-Men Jubilee.
Score.
Yeah.
Is Dazzler on this team? Are they wasting time?
They're probably. Right.
Next up.
MODOK, Assassin, written by Chris Yost and art by Amilcar Pina.
This interests me. Because, A, I like Chris Yost. Like, I've just always really liked that guy's writing. Mm-hmm. But MODOK, Assassin, like, what the fuck?
Well, all right, so it's a five-issue miniseries, and it takes place on Kill World, which is a piece of Battle World, where MODOK has killed all his enemies and reigns supreme.
That's the best idea ever.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Like, I'm going to read the shit out of that, because that's what comics should be.
Yes.
MODOK in charge of fucking everything.
With and Bullseye and Deadpool showing up.
So expect to see those
Elektra
guys.
Too, maybe.
Along with other assassins, so probably Elektra. We've got Inferno, written by Dennis Hopeless and art
by... That's really unfortunate last name.
Honestly, it's really unfortunate that it's him writing it, because I haven't really enjoyed his work.
Yeah, I was thinking of X-Force and...
Either way, this is going to revisit the original 1989 Inferno crossover, which I think was spearheaded by Louise Simonson.
Yes. Which is actually why I'm disappointed, because I was really looking forward to that, and then they're like, Dennis Hopeless, and I'm like, okay.
But yeah, this is going to be where the X-Men never triumphed over the demonic enemies, and Manhattan has basically become a permanent hell on Earth, and it will feature Colossus and Ileana, who are brother and sister, along with Madeline Pryor, and those other two demon dudes, Sim and the other guy.
Yeah.
Nestor.
And next up, this is an interesting one, and there's another book that's like it, but it's Planet Hulk. But this is Sam Humphries writing and Mark Lanning drawing.
Yeah.
It has no direct ties to Planet Hulk, which is interesting.
Instead,
explores a segment of Battle World called Greenland, a realm where dozens of Hulks roam amok. And standing against the Hulks is a gladiator version of Steve Rogers and his faithful steeds, Devil Dinosaur. Don't get me wrong. That sounds badass.
Cool.
That sounds awesome.
I fucking love that shit. Now, and the cover actually makes sense, because they showed this image, and I think...
It's Cap on a dinosaur.
Cap
and, so.
Yeah, well, it's like Gladiator Cap, so he's got like a fucking battle axe and a shield. It looks awesome.
And Humphreys teased roles for Bucky and a potentially heroic Hulk as well.
Yeah, and the next two books, I have a feeling these are somewhat similar to...
Frontline.
Secret Wars Battle World, which is written by John Williamson and Ed Brisson, and art by Mike Henderson and Scott Hepburn. It's a four-issue miniseries, and it's featuring the fights, battles, and blow-ups that are just too big for Secret Wars. Now,
so it's kind of like it's kind of like that Avengers versus X-Men.
A plus X,
whatever it was.
No, it's A versus X is what it was called.
Yeah, and it just showed fights that they couldn't put in the books themselves. Yeah.
And then we've got Secret Wars Journal, written by Prudent Shen and Michael Rosenberg, and art by Ramon Bax and Luca Pizzari. It's a five-issue miniseries, and it seems to focus on battles that are not big enough to have their own book or be in the Battle World book.
So this is kind of the unknown shit.
Yeah, well, this is kind of like... I saw the solicit for the first issue... And it was some character from Marvel 1602, whatever that book was. 1602. And like Hawkman or Hawk. Like Night Hawkman or whatever.
Darkhawk.
Well, no. It's the Night version of Hawkeye or whatever he was in 1602.
Oh. So it's a 1602 fight.
Yeah, so it's a 1602 fight. Then there's other stuff. So it kind of seems like a. I don't know what the hell this say this is.
Who knows? Either way, so now we've got some that don't have a...
It's a test book.
Don't have a branding of any kind. And the first one is an interesting one. It's called Where Monsters Dwell, and it's by Garth Ennis and Russ Braun. And it is a 5-issue mini that pits World War I fighter pilot Phantom...
Phanto
Eagle against dinosaurs and other jungle adversaries. This is interesting to me because it's Garth Ennis back at Marvel. And him being at Marvel is not too unlikely. I mean, he did the Fury Max series not too long ago. Yeah. But he's got books at DC and Marvel now.
Yeah.
And that's a little strange. He's been doing the cross stuff for a while now. I didn't really see him as coming back to the DC Marvel fold, but now here he is at Marvel doing this.
And apparently this is a character that he's worked on before.
Yeah, I think so. And then over at DC, he's doing, I think, Sector 8, Sector 6.
Spinning out of Hitman.
Yeah. Spinning out of Hitman, which is pretty ridiculous.
John McCray.
Who was the original Hitman artist. So, and another one. Dusty.
Spider-Verse.
Vince, you take this. Vince, sorry. Dusty, share this.
Spider-Verse. It's written by Mike Costa and art by Andre Araujo. It's a mini-series that spins out of Spider-Verse, and it stars Spider-Gwen, Spider-Ham, Spider-Man India, Spider-UK, Spider-Man Noir, and Mayday Parker.
Are they not including the Japanese Tokusatsu Spider-Man? Bastards.
Well, we don't know.
He's the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, he is.
That's awesome. Anyway, I'll handle this last one.
Go ahead.
But so Spider-Verse. Actually, I'm a little hesitant about Spider-Verse because I'm not a fan of Mike Costa.
You know, I'm a fan of Mike Costa. But the thing is, I don't really care about these characters, so it's one of those.
God, what is it?
Oh,
God
yeah,
is dead.
God is
he's,
dead.
He's stinking up the joint. Yeah.
Well, he also did G.I. Joe Cobra. So
he did some cool G.I. Joe stuff, but yeah. Either way. So next one. The next one is one that's been teased and Jim Starlin himself isn't happy about, but it's the Infinity Gauntlet. And this is another one that has no ties to the original story. It's basically going to be co-written by Jerry Duggan and Dustin Weaver, and will be drawn by Dustin Weaver, so it's going to look amazing. But it's not, like I said, it doesn't tie to the original Infinity Gauntlet, and not only that, it doesn't really tie into Secret Wars, which is an interesting move, because it's really going to set up the future of the Marvel Cosmic Universe.
I got a quick segue here. What exactly was keeping back the S.H.I.E.L.D. book that was written by Hickman and Weaver on art?
Hickman.
Yeah. Which is strange, because that motherfucker puts out like 20 books a month.
But he had to basically put S.H.I.E.L.D. on hold to do the other stuff.
To do the other books, because he was like, what's more important? Do I want to do Avengers?
Well, Marvel told him. Marvel was like, we want you to do these over S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And Weaver was like, would ask him all the time.
He was also doing, I guess he was doing the Red Wing, he was doing Manhattan Projects.
Yeah. Well, Red Wing came after Manhattan, after.
But I mean, he had to be working on them while he was working on S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was just wondering, was it Weaver that was keeping back, or just Hickman?
No, I think it was Hickman. Like, Weaver was actually waiting to do it. That's why they gave him Avengers instead, because he didn't have the last S.H.I.E.L.D. script. At least that's what I read.
Interesting.
But anyway, so the Infinity Gauntlet book is not going to tie to Secret Wars, but apparently plays into the Marvel Cosmic future, and focuses on a young Anwin Bakian who finds an Infinity Gem, Bakian, whatever.
Yeah. It's a fake name, we really don't say.
Thanos will be the main villain, but not a Thanos we've seen before. So it's an interesting twist on the Infinity Gauntlet story. But like I said, Jim Starlin was actually kind of insulted that Marvel was doing an Infinity Gauntlet redux and didn't tell him about it. But
happens.
It does.
Yeah, I don't really think he has any water in that fight. I mean, it's not his. It's his story, but it's not his.
It's his story, but it's not. Story. Marvel still has it.
Yeah.
That's one of my books I'm keeping. I'm keeping that Infinity Gauntlet omnibus.
That's cool.
At least till it goes out of print and I can sell it for $500.
That's cool too.
But no, so some interesting stuff here. Gladiator, Captain America, and Devil Dinosaurs. Like,
sounds bad.
The coolest shit I've ever. Like, that and MODOK Assassin are actually the books where I'm like, yeah! Why don't you guys do this shit all the time? And so, some interesting stuff, some obvious choices, some less obvious choices. Revisiting Spider-Verse so quickly is a little interesting, but
well, I don't know. I mean, at the very least, Spider-Verse works in the realm of Secret Wars, since it's supposed to be like all this different stuff from all these different universes. Spider-Verse is pretty much Secret Wars, like, I don't know, point one issue or whatever,
I guess. But yeah, it's definitely some interesting stuff. I mean, it's I feel about this similar to how I felt about kind of the DC New Wave. There's some stuff that I think looks
awesome.
Really good. Some stuff that looks interesting. Some stuff that looks okay. And some stuff where I'm like, don't care.
Not with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. But yeah, so an interesting set of stuff coming from Marvel as Secret Wars really... Secret Wars will ramp up in May, right?
Yep.
And as and Convergence will be concluding in May. So, yeah, plenty of stuff to be excited about. There's going to be some interesting things coming down the pike with Marvel, especially as we get towards the end of Secret Wars and kind of find out what it all means. I'm sure the USA Today press release before issue 6 comes out will tell us everything
we need to know.
But it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And like I said, some pretty good talent on some of these books. But I think the difference here is that, like, looking at these creators, outside Bendis, there's no real heavy hitters on any of these.
I mean, the biggest guys are like Sam Humphries and Hopeless, and they're not really big.
And Soul, I guess Soul is on there too. Yeah. But like, you look at Marvel's kind of big...
Jerry Duggan, he's big.
He's getting his way around Marvel. Yeah. I wouldn't put him on par with Bendis just yet.
Well, of course not. But I mean, they're...
Well, you think about it, like...
There are names just, on this list.
Yeah, and it's just interesting that, you know, all the big writers that Marvel had, they're... Even the ones that DC has had, mostly, they're
losing them.
Yeah, they are. They're moving on to other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, I think that's kind of the...
And it's been interesting...
Plan.
Say what?
So it's all part of Kirkman's plan.
Fuck Kirkman.
You've seen his manifesto? Where he talks about, and he's like, you get your name in the door, like, you do your independent comics, Marvel notices you, then you go to Marvel, then you work your way up at Marvel, you get popular at Marvel, you get people to notice you, and then once you're popular at Marvel, you quit and you go back to Image. And then you create your own stuff, and then you make more money. And he's goddamn right.
Well, I mean, I think that's the way... It's like, as big as Marvel and DC is...
It's a good method because it forces Marvel to hire new people. You know, it's like...
Well, that was what I was going to say, is I'm like, the interesting thing to me becomes, it's how do you deal with a talent exodus? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? And with...
You find new people, and that's...
Well, yeah, you... And it's... Well, like, you look at the 90s is a great example. What happened to Marvel when the Image guys left?
Mm-hmm.
They almost fucking died. Mm-hmm.
But the 90s were so different in terms of, I mean, fucking everything, man. Like, you had,
but still, but it's the same idea, though. You basically had seven heavy hitters at Marvel that basically all left at the same time.
Yeah.
And were just like, we're leaving, and Marvel was just kind of left to be like, well, I can't hold all of these lines. And just kind of fell apart and filed for bankruptcy and everything.
For the most part, I think everyone that left Marvel... In the most recent exodus, which was I wouldn't even call it an exodus.
It was a phase.
Left on fairly good terms. I mean, Brubaker finished what he was working on.
Oh yeah, I'm not implying that these guys are burning bridges or anything, but it's...
They can come back anytime they want to.
You know? I'm sure some of them will. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's different between now and what happened in the 90s, because in the 90s, those guys were basically like, fuck this, I'm out, and they like jump ship.
None of them really abandoned midstream, though. Like, in their defense.
McFarlane, like, I mean, well, that guy...
He did his arcs of Spider-Man, and then he was done.
Yeah.
And Lee finished his X-Men story, and then
they just
finished.
Never came back. Some of them never came back.
I think they just...
Lee did his 10 or 11 issues of X-Men, and then he was done. Mm-hmm. And they all finished their obligations, and then they were like, and we're leaving. But the thing about it that's so... I guess it's different now is that with now, Marvel is well aware that somebody can go to Image and do their thing. At that time... If you were a superstar at Marvel or DC...
That was it.
There was nowhere to go. Like, you didn't have an Image to go, oh, well, I'm going to do my own stuff there. You didn't have that. You had your stuff like Malibu and things like that, which people did. Some people did get some mileage out of, and Valiant for a while there. But you didn't... You were always working for a company. Then even if you wanted to do your own idea, you still had to do it through one of them. And so Image kind of created this dichotomy of, you've got a story you want to tell, come here and do it. And it was very unique at the time, even though most of the original Wave books are shit.
Yeah.
Savage Dragon's about the only one. Savage Dragon and... What's the one Jim Valentino does? Shadowhawk. Those two are pretty good.
Yeah, Shadowhawk was cool.
But yeah, it was just a bunch of stuff where you were like, well, gee, what do we do? And so watching companies kind of deal with that exodus... So that was actually what was interesting to me about DC's... launch with all of the creators they listed is it was a lot of different kind of choices that I thought were interesting. Like, it was bringing in, you know, like Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor are co-writing some other stuff, writing some other books. There wasn't a whole lot of DC like people I would have expected to see on that list. Like, Scott Lobdell was on one thing, and Peter Tomasi was on nothing, and Jeff Johns is on nothing, and Scott Snyder is on nothing, and Jeff Lemire is on nothing. It was almost all new talent, like Ming Doyle and Riley Rossmo and all these people, and the, like Gene Lung Yang on Superman and stuff like that. So it's always interesting to me to kind of watch how a company handles losing people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Marvel poached Tom Taylor from over at DC. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's gone from DC, but he...
Not pretty much.
And
I don't
then
think
like
he's working on anything.
I don't think he is. He pretty much left Earth 2 and then World's End and all that, which is kind of sad because I think he was doing pretty. He was doing great on Earth 2, and because basically on Earth 2 he was essentially writing Injustice. It was evil Superman. So, so a lot of great stuff there, and I think we're just kind of in that age where it's so weird when people say, "Oh, well, I've signed an exclusive contract," and I'm like, I don't see why people do that. I'd almost use it like... I'd almost be like, why are you offering me this? Like, why are you limiting where I can go?
Yeah.
And,
Well, I think it's... I mean, one, they have to be willing to do it, so it's not exactly like...
Yeah, I mean, they're not being twisted or their arm's not being forced into it, but
I mean,
it's so
like,
weird.
You've got a guy like Sorrentino who did...
It's guaranteed work, in a way.
He did work on iVampire.
He can now get health insurance.
Which wasn't selling, but looks great. He worked on Green Arrow,
which sold well,
did well. I mean, and loved it.
And that's what got Marvel
honestly
to snatch him up.
As much as I like Jeff Lemire, I picked it up more for Sorrentino's artwork than Jeff Lemire's writing.
How does it feel to be literally Hitler?
Great. fuck you, also. So, whatever he works on next, whether it's... I don't even remember the name of the book he's writing on.
Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to pick that book up, not because of Bendis. I'm going to pick it up because of Sorrentino.
I didn't like Old Man Logan, so...
Eh, I thought it was an alright story. And
I thought it was a decent premise with a shitty execution.
I think Bendis is a more capable writer than Miller. I mean, if
Bendis
can
control his urges a little bit better.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I liked the idea behind Old Man Logan. It wasn't until the end that it kind of, like, just went really shitty.
Yeah, oh, with the Incest Hulks?
Yeah, with the
Incest Hulks. It was about the end where, like, the red Skull starts showing up and all that, and, like, by the last two or three issues, I was like, I don't fucking care.
But bring it back...
Here's some news real fast. Cody Smith McPhee has officially joined X-Men Apocalypse as a young version of Nightcrawler.
No shit!
Yeah.
Sweet.
A young version of Nightcrawler making his way through it. X-Men Apocalypse. That one's getting geared up to go, because that comes out next summer, so they're pretty much...
Yeah, they're already talking about how Apocalypse is going to look and who's going to be in it, so that's good news.
It is.
Anyway, back to Sorrentino. What I was saying was that if he's exclusive for Marvel, I mean, one, it's not going to be forever... Two, he's going to get his name on high-profile books.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, Old Man Logan, I don't give a fuck who writes it, is going to...
It's
going to
sell.
Who fucking
it's
going to
be the only book that has Wolverine in it right
it's
now.
Gonna be the, it's going to be a book that sells like a motherfucking, like motherfucking mad. So, that's going to go like hotcakes. His name's going to get out there. People are going to hopefully realize that he's a badass artist. Next thing you know, he's got bigger, better titles to work on. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he's got his own Image book.
Yep.
And, you know, such is life.
Or he'll do an Image book with Mark Miller, because that's what everybody does.
All right, well, we're going to take a pause real fast.
When we come back, we're going to do the interview. We'll forego Vince Reed's Comics from the Silver Age this week in favor of our interview with Ulysses Farinas. And then we'll bring Vince back next week. But when we come back, we will have that interview, and then after the interview, we will have
Picks of the Week.
Our
Picks of the Week. And wrap everything up. So thanks for joining us, guys. Stick with us. Welcome back to God Hates Comics. I am Andrew, as always, and I'm here with Dusty and Vincent, also, as always.
Yes.
And we are very honored to have a special guest with us here today. If you could go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
Hey, it's Ulysses Farinas, artist and writer of Gamma, and the writer of Amazing Forest, which is coming out right now from Monkey Brain.
From Monkey Brain. Cool.
Nice.
So, Dusty connected with you on your Patreon, which is where people can go to kind of support your work. What's the address for that?
It's patreon.com/UlyssesFarinas, I'm pretty sure.
Sweet.
That makes it really
good. Yeah.
There's some more people signed up for that. You know, you got some pretty cool goals and stuff like that.
So I was happy to pitch in a couple bucks.
Such as this interview that we are very thankful for.
Yeah, this is a Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it is. Yes, best Valentine's Day ever.
A little bit after the fact.
Well, my actual Valentine's Day, I was completely alone, so I was a little disappointed. I was kind of relying on you guys were my date. I totally got ditched on my date.
So Gamma, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about Gamma and kind of what it's all about. Not everything, naturally, but yeah. Go and give us the sales pitch.
I love this comic that you've got, by the way. I've read it. I've read the stuff that Bush presents, and it's excellent.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty much all the Japanese imports to, like, Saturday morning cartoon shows in the 90s smashed together and into one, like, weird comic about a perverted old man.
Yeah, that I happen to share a name with.
Happens to be named Dusty. Dusty was telling me about it when I was reading it myself. I definitely caught a lot of the... Dusty described it as a little bit, you know, the guy's last name is kind of Ketchumall. So the influences are definitely there. Did that stuff have a big influence on you, or is it just something you thought would be fun?
Oh no, definitely. I still watch it. Like anytime I'm writing or like drawing a new script, I put on Pokemon or Power Rangers or some Godzilla movie and just leave it in the background. I just always loved all those different kind of shows, and to me, they all kind of worked as like one mega genre, you know. So I kind of wanted to just kind of combine them in my head.
And that actually makes sense. When you really think about it, it's not something that I think would actually be hard to kind of mash all of those ideas together and just kind of create this kind of mass. Like, because I'm a big fan of the Japanese power, what it is in Japan, Super Sentai, and I mean, I could easily see mixing that up with almost anything. It works out fairly easily. And so Gamma is a one-shot, or is that a series?
Well, it's a one-shot, and the Patreon is making it into a series, hopefully. You know, the more supporters I get on it, the more I can work on it and not feel like I'm wasting time. You know, I try not to draw any page without getting paid for it first.
Very true, you know. You're up to a couple $100 on that now, right?
Yeah, I think I'm at 228. And I think if I get to 250, I can afford to pay Eric Freitas, my writer. We write together on everything. And normally he kind of takes the short end of the stick.
Nice.
And get paid.
Yeah, hopefully we can boost you over the edge.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely put the link in our description and see if we can get some people over there and get some more eyes on it. Because I definitely love a lot of that Japanese Japanese television.
We have a
shows.
Lot of friends that be right. This is right up their alley, you know.
The kind of mixing all that stuff together. I mean, Godzilla and Power Rangers always made sense to me anyway.
Plus, I mean, just the humor in it alone, going around making money off getting punched in the fucking face, you know, that shit's great.
That's an idea I wish that I was strong enough to do, because that would be easier than my day job, I would like to think.
I met a guy in Vegas that wanted money to get kicked in the balls.
I don't think I have the fortitude to do that.
No. To kick him or to be kicked?
To be kicked. That's a different kind of thing altogether. And so you've got Gamma. You also mentioned a series from Monkey Brain. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, Monkey Brain is sort of our ongoing anthology, but it's a little bit different than most anthologies. It's like different artists making their own story. This is all me and Eric writing every single story that's in the anthology. So it's up to about, I think, 8 issues now, and I think like 132 pages of lots of weird stories, and has a lot of cool artists on it, like Yumi Sakagawa, I can't say her last name, I apologize, and Julian Dufour, and Melody Austin. So that's a lot of cool people on it. And we're knocking them out like every month. There's another issue coming out. So we're really happy with it.
And so it really can just be kind of whatever you guys want it to be that particular
month. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, it's sort of like a Outer Limits light, but it's kind of, we do sci-fi or horror or even some weird kind of romance in there.
Is that going to be like, is it available digitally through like Comixology, or do you have a website to go get it?
It's available on reissue on Comixology.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Very cool.
And you guys are going to keep that one going forward?
Yeah, we have 12 issues planned, and we're thinking of doing another volume.
Another volume?
Very nice.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about your art style. I mean, what kind of influences really kind of drew you to art and kind of specifically kind of comics art in general?
I guess, like, as a kid, I liked children's books a lot, and I liked all those, like, amazing cutaway kind of books that were, like, super detailed and showed how things were. And I was kind of drawn to, like, work like that, and, like, as I got older, kind of felt like, okay, and then from Winsor McCoy, that's how I wanted to do it, too. So I've been drawing that way since then. It's been kind of like I just love cramming in little bits of story into every like into every page.
Yeah, basically when I kind of look at your art and I can see that like you try to pack in as like much as you can into every single panel.
Yeah, it's incredibly detailed.
You try not to let anything go to waste as far as the page goes, and that's something I actually really like because you know we live in this age of comics where you know you have this giant double page splash that's one guy and there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And so to kind of see art that packs in as much as possible is refreshing. It's something that you don't always see a whole lot of in this day and age.
Exactly. You know, works some really cool shit into the backgrounds too. I saw that you've got a art book that you just released, right?
I did. I've been meaning to do it for a while. Kind of put a collection of my different prints, and it's mostly like process. Like it shows like from my pencils to my ink. So there's a lot of my black and white ink, which most of the time people don't get to see that often. But you know, I put that together and I've been selling it, and hopefully I'll get it in a few stores as well.
That'd be awesome. I actually work in a comic book shop. I'll have to talk to my manager about getting a couple in for our shelves.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I need one for myself, too. So
order a bunch and then just take one for yourself. all right, so you've got Gamma, you've got the series at Monkey Brain. Is there anything else kind of coming up as far as comic books goes for you?
Not too much. This is so far 2015, the last half of 2014, I've been working on this like mega project that's like super, super secret. And I hate when you know people in comics are like, hey, I got this project, but I can't talk about it. It's a little weird. Because I only have one project, and normally I spend a lot of time talking on.
So you were kind of cracking up on the last thing you said, actually. We couldn't hear you for a second.
But basically, it sounds like we can't.
We can't really talk about the super secret project. That's awesome. Yeah.
I can just talk about how I hate non-disclosure agreements.
You can only talk about how much he hates not talking about it. No? Well, I imagine that's always got to be frustrating, like not only as a fan, it's always that thing where, you know, they're like, I'm working on something really cool, but I can't tell you anything about it. But as a creator, though, I imagine it has to be even more frustrating to be like, I'm working on this really cool project that
I want to talk about.
That I wanted to tell you all about, but I can't. And so we understand, but we'll look forward to that new project whenever it will it become. Can you tell us if it'll be coming this year?
I don't even know. Like, I don't actually, because I'm halfway through it. And, you know, like, one of the things I always hate is, like, if I'm on Twitter and I see someone be like, just walked out, we're talking to some top executives, can't talk about it, but you guys are in for a treat. I'm like, shut the fuck up. About your half news that probably doesn't amount to anything. And then it turns out to be like, oh, guys, I got a backup comic in Superman. An annual that no one cares about with a shitty artist on it. And it's like, oh, that's what it was? So I don't like to be one of the guys. Every single comic professional does it. They like to do the, I just pitched the best book of my life. It's like, shut up.
I just pitched the best book of my life. It's going to be the 7th ongoing X-Men title of Marvel.
It's not the best book of my life. It's not the worst. You'll like it. But it'll be more of the same from what you get from Ulysses.
So to all his fans, you're going to like it.
If you like my old shit, you'll... You've also, you've got this really cool blog, Mr. and Mrs., where you give out relationship advice.
Yeah,
I've seen a bunch of your posts. Yeah, you've got some awesome shit here, you know. I love the advice you give. It's pretty great.
What kind of drove you to put that together?
I didn't think you guys would bring that up. No one really actually asked me about my advice column.
I'm switching up the game here.
It's just like this thing I do in the mention where like lots of, it's just interesting. I got a lot of questions from like 20-something-year-old women, and that's my audience. And in comics, it's like I'll put up the link, and people just like, it just gets cricket. So I'm just like, okay, I guess comics people don't have a relationship problem. Or they don't have
to be in a relationship first. Not to denigrate our fan base, guys.
Right.
But.
I've been doing it for like 3 years. So, I've been giving relationship advice for like 3 years on the internet.
Is it just something that kind of just were getting questions and just kind of decided to go ahead and start answering them?
Well, I guess like I was bullshitting with a girlfriend of mine, and she was like, oh, you should write this stuff down. You got good advice. So I started doing that. And then it kind of worked as far as, like, you know, it helped me with dating, at least. Like, girls seem to be attracted to someone who gives a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
I tell them I'm bad at relationships. Not completely true. Not completely false.
No, Vincent, you just wanted to bring that up.
I just wanted to bring it up because it's hilarious. I mean, like, the last question you got, or one of the last questions you got, is like, I love being eaten out. It's like, but I don't like the way my vagina looks. That's fucking hilarious that someone would ask that, and you're just like, hey, you know, I have a penis, and it looks pretty normal.
That's great, though. Like, it really is, because it's actually good advice.
You know? Like, everyone has, like, you know, penises, and sometimes they poopy. You know, like, my penis looks sometimes weird to some girls, and, you know, I'm just like, if they make a face at it, I'm just like, well, I'm already naked, so it's great. So, you know, like, like, they're going to walk away or not. Like, you know, you do. Once your pants are down, you just have to, like, either go with the
song. Yeah, you just go with it, you know? It's like, all right, it's already happening, you know?
It's like, no, I'm going to leave. There's no shame in that. Sometimes you gotta
stop. Sweet. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no shame.
But I've never seen genitals that look like a work of art. So
right,
it's just like weird squishy back.
All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap things up here. I do want to thank you again for taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, definitely, man. We appreciate it.
And we hope that we at least gave you some mild company in these days after Valentine's Day.
Sorry, I couldn't be there for you on Valentine's Day.
Next year, we'll get with you on Valentine's Day and make up for this.
Exactly. Next year, we will make up for it.
But yeah, we'll make sure to include links to all your to your Patreon and to the.
Yeah, we do like a live podcast. Awesome. Yeah.
We'll get a camera for next time, so we can. We can all be on screen at the same time.
Awesome. That sounds really cool.
All right. Well, I want to thank you again. And hopefully we can get you back to... Maybe. We'll see if we can get you back to talk to you again sometime.
Right. Yeah, and once you can actually talk about your secret project, you know, it's no longer so secret.
All right. Thank you again.
Thanks for coming out. Well, thanks for being on the show or whatever.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to God Hates Comics. We hope you enjoyed that, unfortunately, slightly heavily garbled interview with...
Shit was still fucking funny, though.
Yeah. So. Should have been there.
Shit was funny. Yeah, that should be the title of this episode. Shit was funny. This shit
God was Hates funny. Comics, episode issue 24. This shit was funny. Yeah, like so we're going to go ahead and get into our picks of the week, and we'll have another, hopefully, never mind. I was about to say mildly short episode, but you know us.
This is mildly short.
But we have a 15-minute interview in there, man.
How long is it right now?
So we're over an hour now with the interview.
We bring you our regular schedule.
Regularly?
I can't speak. The shit's going on just as long
it
as
happens to the best of us. Anyway, so I'm going to go first on my picks of the week because...
Andrew actually has as much as me. It's a good fucking week.
It is.
I capped my shit at 3 because I love you guys.
You capped your... No, there was 2.
It's not my fault you're weak, Vince. It's my dick.
Society. Read more comics.
I don't have the time. I have Legos.
Fuck off.
You betrayed us. Leave
God
the island.
God hates Legos.
Limit yourself to 3.
It's not a comic.
Anyway, for that note... Vince can go first.
All right. I've got Batman and Robin number 39 because Robin's a brat and he's got superpowers, so that means fuck yeah.
I second that nomination.
Number 12. It's the final issue of Charles Soule, Pretty Awesome Run, which...
Boo.
Dusty doesn't...
Because it's over.
Yeah, I got that. It took me a minute. I was processing.
He's like, why is he booing the comic?
Because it fucking sucks. Comic's great. Excited to see how it ends, but I'm sad to see it leave. Ooh.
Oh, really?
And then I've got Silver Surfer number 9, because this book's already fun as fuck, and guess who's in it this month? Galactus.
Cool.
So, there you go. Tits McGrits. Andrew, you're up.
Alright. First up is going to be Multiversity, The Multiversity, Mastermen number 1. This is Grant Morrison and Jim Lee doing the Nazi Superman versus Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters. And the issue literally begins with Hitler reading an issue of Superman on the shitter. So, Grant Morrison.
Does it end with that?
I don't think so. It starts with that, and then he finds out that, I think they call him Overman in that version. Has crashed in the field and they're going to get him and win the war with him.
Gotcha. You know, it'd be pretty sweet if it was that, except he looked up and then the fucking T-Rex was like staring at him and he ate him.
So it'd be like that scene from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, just like that scene from Jurassic Park.
Ah, whatever. Next up, Justice League 39. This is the last part of Amazovirus before we get into Convergence, which begins in...
April.
So they got next month. So the next issue, I think, is a Dark Side War prelude.
Okay.
And so we're concluding Amazovirus this week. It's been fun. And Geoff Johns works great when he kind of gets to kind of work with these villains and kind of reimagine them and give them new concepts. And this has been no exception.
Batman didn't explode.
What gave it away?
Shit.
He was Batman? He's fucking Batman.
He's just like... He's about to explode and he just kind of like tenses up and he doesn't. And Superman's like, what happened? He's like, I'm Batman.
If he said that to more people.
And then it says, the end by Geoff Johns. That'd be sweet. That's the way the story happens in my head.
Mine as well. So
I really just, like, I don't want every story to end that way, but I'd love it in story if more often people were like, how'd you do that? And he just went, because I'm Batman.
Yeah.
But. Like, you know, have you ever seen the How It Should Have Ended videos where they always have Batman and Superman at the diner?
Because I'm Batman.
And he's like, let me guess, the answer is because you're Batman. Because I'm Batman!
And you know what? Speaking of Batman, I got a segue. So, New York Toy Fair was this weekend.
They announced some fucking amazing shit.
A lot of cool shit. So, of course, I'm a Lego guy. They announced some more Legos. Justice League Legos. We've got a Batman set. That has Deathstroke in it for some fucking reason.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Sure.
Okay. Fuck you.
I am sure in his career and existence as a character, Batman has at some point faced Deathstroke.
That's the problem, because next... So this is like a $23, $24 set. Okay, fine, cool. I'll spend $24 to get a little Batman shit and Deathstroke, right? They've got like a $100 set, maybe a $100 plus set. It's got Batman, Robin... Joker, Poison Ivy, Penguin, Beast Boy, Starfire. Put those two, Mate and Robin, with Deathstroke. That makes an infinite amount of sense. That makes.
You are irrationally upset about Legos.
Dude, I'm upset.
You're not upset. You are irrationally upset.
I'm upset because there's too much goddamn Batman. I'm upset because there's too much goddamn Batman in my Justice League Lego sets. Like, seriously. There's a Flash set that's got Captain Cole and Gorilla Grodd. You know why I haven't bought it yet? Because fucking Batman's in there with a Batman mech. Alright? There's a Aquaman set with Black Manta. You know who else is in it? Batman and Scuba Robin. Like, I fucking give a shit about Scuba Robin.
Hey. Vince, calm the fuck down. Holy shit.
I give a shit about Scuba Robin.
And I give a shit about Mech Batman.
Rant over. I want Captain Cold. I don't want another fucking Batman.
You know what Batman?
Also, it's a three. Batman. It's the what?
It's Batman.
It's Batman. He sells money.
He's in everything. Leave. I mean, he was in the Green Lantern set. Who the fuck gives a crap about Space Batman?
Who doesn't give a crap about Space Batman? God.
You just had two amazing words together. Space
Batman.
All right. Okay. I'll admit, Space Batman's cool. Guess what? Batman doesn't have a space suit. He just goes into space as Batman.
Because he's Batman!
Exactly! But he has, in the Lego set, he's Space Batman. He's dressed in white. He's got fucking space wings.
Because they made him the video game. And he goes in the white suit.
It's horseshit.
Nerds. It's hysterical.
I'm
really upset about this.
Dude, it's so fucking annoying that there's things I want, but I have like too many goddamn Batman minifigures.
Throw the Batman out. Donate it to a child. Send it to China. Who gives a shit?
Donate it to a child. That's actually not a bad idea.
You might have to use a little of that shit.
Okay, alright.
There you go. Problem fucking solved. You can buy your Flash shit. Getting back to our picks.
Alright, so now, after Justice League came into a mild detour, I'm going to get Rumble number 3.
This is my second choice because this comic is fucking
John Arcudi and...
James Herron.
James Herron, yes. The first two issues are whack out insane. Yeah. I'm still not sure I know what's going on. But the first issue kind of dealt with like death getting taken off the table briefly because Cat was jumping out windows and shit and not dying and stuff.
Well, that cat is, I'm assuming, possessed by some type of demon. Because in the second issue, it's eating trash and has swollen to the size of a giant car.
That'll do it. But either way, if you've enjoyed any of John Arcudi's work on BPRD or even, you know, any of his stuff, even his DC Doom Patrol
stuff. The Mask, it's goddamn amazing.
This is going to be up your alley. Yeah. It's weird, it's wacky, it looks awesome, and yeah.
I love the little scene in the second issue where it's like the guy, in the first issue... This guy hands one of the main characters this note. And so in the second issue, they managed to get it translated. And it translates into an IOU for $75. And he gets the note and looks at it and says, "But he owes me $82.50. And it's like written in some ancient Phoenician like language that they had to have translated.
Yeah.
He's like, "But that's not right.
He owes me more than this." But either way, it's really great. Is this Image?
Yes.
Yeah,
this
okay.
is Image.
Most of his stuff is through Dark Horse. I think The Creep was through Dark Horse. So, but either way, it's really good, so check it out. Next is Fables 149, the penultimate issue of Fables and the conclusion of the current arc. I do believe, because I believe what is happening is... let me look at this real quick. Fables is coming to an end. It makes me quite sad. And, this is the penultimate issue. It's not the conclusion of the arc, I don't think.
So the next issue is going to be a full-size volume, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is that this will basically be the last issue in Fables Volume 22, I believe. And, Fables Volume 20... This will actually, I think, be Fables Volume 21.
Yeah.
It'll be... So 149 will be the last issue in Fables Volume 121. Volume 21.
Yeah, Volume 21.
And then Volume 22, I've been told, the last issue will be all of Volume 22.
Wow.
It will be one giant oversized send-off. This is 150 issues. That's...
Yeah.
A significant run for anything that's not a superhero. I can think of very few other creator-owned books that have run this far. You've got your Spawn, you've got your Savage Dragon, you've got your Cerebus.
Walking Dead's coming up.
Walking Dead's coming up to that. But Fable, it's an elite company. It's less than 10 books, I think. And if you don't include... if you include renumbers, you can include like BPRD and maybe even Hellboy, but... It's been a long run. It's actually one of my favorite books. I mean, I've been playing the Wolf Among Us game, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm going to be sad to see this universe go, but
I still need to read it all. I've read the first volume.
I have all the volumes to date, so I've enjoyed it a lot. It's been, because the book really, it's another book that, despite kind of having this fairy tale setting, can be anything.
Yeah.
It can, like, the first story is a mystery.
Yeah.
And then it has other mysteries, and then it has straight up fantasy, and then it has, you know, romance, and, you know, adventure. All walks of life are in this book, and it's been pretty great.
I read the first, I guess the first two volumes. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I made the mistake of picking it up as hardcovers, because I was like, I didn't realize how long this shit would go.
Oh yeah, they take forever for those fucking hardcovers.
Guess what? I just cut my losses and said I'll figure out some other way to read it.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna do this because I've already got the hardcovers for Walking Dead, and I'm at, I guess, volume 10 or book 10, and that the book literally says, like, in the title, or not in the title, like in the description, this shit ain't ending. So I'm gonna have hardcovers until the end of time.
Oh, it's Walking Dead does trades of one trade, then they do the hardcovers of two trades.
Yes.
And then they do the omnibuses, which I think are four trades.
50 issues.
No, the compendiums are 48 issues.
Yeah. 48 issues.
But there's actually omnibuses that I think are...
The slipcase?
Yeah.
The oversized?
I think those are
four trades.
Four trades.
And then they've got like I was saying, the compendiums, which are 48 issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're eight trades.
Yeah. Which is a pretty good deal. It's like 50... Well, you normally get...
Oh, it's a great deal. It's $60 for 48 issues.
Yeah,
we'll give Dusty his cough break.
Sorry.
So yeah, Fables is coming to an end. It's been one of my favorites. I got turned onto it by a friend of mine years ago. Checked it all out. Even was able to convince some other people to start reading it as well. And it's just been a really good run, and it's been really well developed. The story has been had. When you've got something that goes this long, you've got these kind of overarching story things that just kind of continue.
Yeah.
And there's story plots that he built for years that had payoff, and it was pretty amazing. So, definitely going to be sad to see the series go, but this is the penultimate issue and the conclusion of the current arc. Would not jump in here.
don't do this.
I would definitely go back to the first. If it's an idea, if you're a fan of Once Upon a Time or Grimm or things like that, I'd read this series because it's way better. Basically, Once Upon a Time got a lot of criticism from Fables fans for basically being Fables.
Yeah.
And
especially because they were in talks to do a Fables TV show,
and then it all
then they backed
apart.
Out, and then they came out with this one instead.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like,
it's a similar idea. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's not the idea in itself is not exactly groundbreaking, but it's definitely two different beasts. I'll admit that.
Well, it's all the execution.
Yeah, I've watched Once Upon a Time. It's all right, and they actually do some interesting things with it. Like, they do some interesting twists that he doesn't really do in the book, but. And it's kind of the different nature of the mediums, too. With serial television, you always have to kind of keep the viewers on their toes. With comics, you get a chance to have the story breathe. So,
well, they've always got... I mean, they have Once Upon a Time. What's the other book? No, not the book. There's a Grimm.
Grimm, yes. I mentioned that specifically.
My bad, sorry. What really sucks, though, is that if they ever do decide to make a Fables TV show...
It'll inevitably get it's like Once Upon a Time stuff. Kind of like when Dredd came out after the Raid, and everybody was like, "Oh, Dredd's a ripoff of the Raid," even though Dredd was made before the Raid.
Yeah.
Not only that, they weren't really; they were the same in that they took place in a building. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Fables is coming to an end, and it makes me sad. But it's a good run of books, and Ferris is also coming to an end.
Yeah.
So basically, by this time next year, Fables will be done. Actually, I'd say this time 6 months from now, Fables will be done. It's a good run, though. It's an amazing body of work that you've never checked out. The trades are all available in print, and I'd do it. And lastly is Rocket Salvage number 3 from our friend Yehudi Mercado, and drawn by that guy whose name I can't remember.
Is it Yehudi Mercado Jr.?
No.
Oh, that was close.
Bachan. Bachan. B-A-C-H-A-N. Cool. So yeah, it's the third issue of his Rocket Salvage series. It's been a really fun story.
It is. It's been really good.
I've enjoyed it quite a bit. So it's the third issue of 5, I think.
Yeah.
And he's got some other stuff coming up. He did a Garfield issue recently, and I know he's got other stuff coming up because he said he did.
Nice.
So definitely check that out, and check out his website, turbopizza.com, for stuff on his other works. Anyway, Dusty, take it away.
I'll make it kind of quick. We've got Bitch Planet number 3, new one from Kelly Sue DeConnick, and a buddy of ours, Robert Wilson IV. I own a bunch of art from this guy. He is fucking awesome and fantastic.
I have a staple poster for
him. Yes, you do. And you should all buy this book just to support some badass artists.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a fucking awesome comic book in the first place.
Don't forget badass writers.
Yeah.
Writer.
And then, artist is still technically, she's still technically an artist. She creates things.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Exactly.
I'm just
not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
This we know. Okay, I've also got Deadly Class number 11 because I love this goddamn fucking comic. It's fucking punk rock and it's fucking awesome.
It's nice to see Rick Remender writing things of quality after Access.
Exactly. then I've got Moon Knight number 12. This is the last issue of Brian Wood's Moon Knight before Cullen Bunn takes over. And I'm excited for that. It's also going to be the penultimate issue of his little storyline that he's doing. So I'm really looking forward to see where it's actually going.
So it's a penultimate issue
of...
It's the final issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the final issue.
Penultimate is the one before.
Issue before.
Oh, well then,
so it's the last
shut issue. Up. It's the last issue.
Well, I was just...
You were correcting me, and I get it, because I was wrong.
Okay.
But still, fuck you!
I'm not trying to be a dick, I just wanted to make sure that...
I get it, no, I misunderstood one. Yeah, I don't know. and then Magneto, well, number 15. This comic is also going to be coming into an end soon.
Probably.
We think. We're not sure.
Yeah, well, it's got the Last Days banner on it for Secret Wars, so we'll be seeing. We'll see what happens. But it's a great fucking comic. Yeah. And then The Valiant number 3, new one from Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent, with art by Paulo Rivera, and this comic fucking rules. You know? Good fucking superhero comics, and fucking excellent world building. It's really fucking cool what they're doing over at Valiant. I highly recommend picking up their comics.
And Jeff Lemire's going to be doing Bloodshot Reborn, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That starts May, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Matt Kent has something coming out with Trevor Harrison, too. And they've got just
top-notch
fucking creators over there.
I mean, so we were able to find 13 different books this week that we want to read.
And this was keeping the list short, mind you,
yeah.
People. Like, so, there's a bunch of other shit. If I don't want to make some
If anybody
picks,
tells you...
Fucking Iron Fist... Number 9, I guess, just coming out too.
Yeah.
So read that shit.
Either way, my point being with saying that is that if somebody tells you that there are no good comics out there, they are a liar.
Yes, they're a lying piece of shit.
Even more to the point, if somebody tells you that there is nothing of quality at Marvel or DC, they are also a liar.
You may set their pants on fire.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves in comics, honestly, is when people just slag the shit out of Marvel and DC.
Well, I really hate
a lot of great fucking books at those companies.
Someone just flat out says, oh, I don't read comics. I don't like comics. It's like, how the fuck do you just not like an entire
And I've had people tell
medium?
Me that, and I've gone, okay, well, what kind of books do you like to read this? So then I'll show them a comic, and they're like, well, that's interesting. I'll be like, well, then maybe you should read it and shut the fuck up. And it happens. And now people come back.
And then they read it.
Yeah.
And they come to him and they say nothing because they have to shut the fuck up.
I am currently shutting the fuck up.
Well, it always gets me when people are just like, well, you know, why do people read DC and Marvel? And I'm just like, well, first off, it's fucking Batman. Like,
yeah.
He's been around for 75 years. Like, why would people
awesome.
Like Batman? And but just that idea that, like, there's that, like, I've mentioned it before, but, like, that kind of, that weird kind of false nobility people have about, well, I don't bow down to work at the big two. I won't let them crush me. I'm like, you're not noble for not writing Batman. You just don't want to write Batman, which is fine.
Yeah.
But to imply that you're somehow a better creator because you don't write Batman is bullshit. Because
but I'm like Gandhi, man. Yeah, but Gandhi didn't go around bragging about that shit.
No shit, exactly. It's like, you know, John Layman's written Batman, and I'd never tell him that he's inferior. The dude's awesome. I'd never tell Scott Snyder that he's inferior. It's like this idea that, like, you can't add to it. Like, Scott Snyder's done nothing but add to the legacy of Batman the whole time he's been on Batman.
Yeah.
Like, every story he's written has become, like, an instant classic.
Mm-hmm.
And John Layman's run wasn't nearly... Unfortunately, got very overshadowed, I think, by Snyder's run.
Yeah.
But still did a lot of great stories, and just this idea that, you know... And the thing is, people, like, everybody at DC or Marvel these days is doing independent work as well. Like, mm-hmm. they're mostly at DC and Marvel because they choose to be. And I'm just like, you
Which
know...
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
There's great stuff out there.
Yeah,
there
see,
are
I've
great
actually,
books.
I've got a buddy that, you know, said he only liked to read nonfiction books. You know, he like, it's just what he's interested in. So I was like, well, if I was going to show you a comic book, what would you want it to be about? He's like, oh, I'd have to feature, like, alien worlds with a bunch of different foreign life and, you know, different cultures and shit like that.
Like,
so I picked up Prophet, you know, and I gave him Prophet, the volume one of Prophet,
he like read it in 2 days. He's like, I sat down to read it and I thought I was gonna like, you know, just read part of it and come back to it later. He's like, I read the whole fucking thing in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
you know. So I gave him volume 2. Now I've got him volume 3. You know, and he's devoured
both
of those.
That's the end, isn't it?
Well, they're doing a new one. They're about to start like another Prophet little mini series.
Right, right.
So awesome. There will be a fourth volume.
But either way, there's tons of great fucking shit out there. It doesn't matter if you're reading Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, whatever.
There is
cool
something
stuff
out there that we can find for you that you will like.
If you like Batman, you are very much in luck. You are essentially in a golden age of fucking Batman books.
Yeah. But if you don't like superheroes, that's fine. I can find you something else that I guarantee you'll fucking like.
Actually, and even more to the point, if you're a Superman fan, there is literally right now no better time to be a Superman fan, I think, because we are coming off of Jeff Johns, Greg Pak, and Scott Snyder all writing Superman at the same time, and we're going to come back from Convergence and still have Greg Pak on Action Comics and Gene Lung Yang with John Romita Jr. doing Superman. And, like, these are great fucking books, and it bothers me when, like, they just kind of get brushed to the side just because it's Superman.
Yeah.
Just, like, yeah. It's they're amazing creators. And, I mean, I follow creators these days, and so to see DC kind of snag somebody like Gene Lung Yang to do Superman, I think that's awesome. And, yeah. I mean, it speaks to the, I think, the
it's a timeless.
It speaks to the character. Yeah. Like, because it's a character that people want to do things with.
Yeah.
And it's so strange when people try to shame people for that. But you look at Image, there's science stuff, there's mystery stuff, there's adventure stuff. You got science, you've got like Manhattan Projects and Black Science. Like, you've got adventure stuff, you've got like Five Ghosts, you've got like trippy ass fucking sci-fi stuff, even more so.
Yeah, you've
like
got horror stuff,
Manhattan
like
Projects, and
Ghosted,
like,
you know.
You've got
shit like that.
And then over at Marvel, you've got all these books that like have that young kind of pop sensibility, like with Miss Marvel and even Captain Marvel, and then even over at DC with stuff like Gotham Academy and Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
You like even within the big two companies, you're getting these books that are appealing to a certain particular
audience
that are very kind of specific. And it's awesome to see that DC, like DC's slate when they come back from Convergence, is a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of stuff where it's like, you know, we're going to do these things and we're just going to have, we're basically going to let creators have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think comics has been missing most.
Yeah.
Even with the advent of Image stuff, it's like there's just, it's all dark and serious. Like it's even the Image stuff that I love, it's all this dark, it's very cynical in its nature.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad. Like, Southern Bastards is a dark, cynical book, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Afterlife with Archie is a dark, cynical book, but I love it. And, I mean, it's...
Shit, The Dying and the Dead and Hickman's first issue of that shit was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, but it's... So, DC kind of actively being like, you know what, it can be more than just that.
Yeah.
I like that. And Marvel's done it a little bit, and DC's going to be doing it a lot with this relaunch. So, like I said, if somebody tries to tell you that there's no books out there that are good, or that comics aren't good, or whatever, they're a liar. And if you have, and if you genuinely are somehow at the end of this episode and have never read a comic, and you are looking for stuff to read, and you haven't pulled anything from what we said, you can absolutely contact us on any of our social media stuff, and we will gladly
fucking find you something.
We will give you a phone book of things that you will probably enjoy, because we know
I enjoy this, actually. This is the one part about my job that I really like, is when people come in and said, I've never read a comic book before. What can I read? And it's like, well, what do you like? Tell me a favorite movie. Tell me something that you'd be interested in, you know? And then from there, it's like, all right, I can suggest you 50 different fucking titles right now. Let's just hope we have them instead.
And sometimes it's really easy. What's your favorite movie? Ghostbusters. You're in luck.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Here's Ghostbusters versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What's your favorite movie? Shit. What's your favorite franchise? The Ninja Turtles. You are in luck. Because this is literally, I'd say, hate to use this term again, a golden age for Ninja Turtle fans.
Yeah.
This Ninja Turtles series at IDW is some of the best stuff ever.
Because
I've read those Eastman Laird original 5 volumes. Some rough shit in
more
there.
So. Like, I mean, I can suggest crime comics to you. I'm a huge crime comic fan, you know. So,
oh, yeah, sci-fi, crime, mystery, it's all there.
Definitely.
The comics can, and that's the thing that's great about comics, too. Comics can literally be anything you want them to be.
Your imagination is the fucking limit. Just
exactly.
Remember that God hates them all.
God hates them all. And that is an excellent way to leave this episode. We just want you all to remember that you can reach us on all of our social media. I'm not going to say it again because I just did. But just remember, for every comic out there that you absolutely love,
God
fucking hates
it.
Nice.
Have a good night, folks.
We'll talk to you guys next week. And don't forget our contest.
Yeah.
We will finish off with that, actually.
Hit us up. If you want your tickets, just tell us you want
two
your tickets.
Two passes to Staple, March 7th and 8th, Marchesa Hall, Austin. Fantastic. Staple-Austin.org, I believe.
Yeah, Staple-Austin.
Thanks to Space City Nerd,
yeah,
Jesus,
you,
and
Chris Nicholas.
Local Staple for getting us these passes. And but yeah, if you're interested in those, shoot us an email. We will contact you as soon as the they know it.
Fuck, I don't know, man. Just
we
say
just
it.
Said we weren't gonna say it.
You're not listening.
GodHatesComics@gmail.com. I'm fucking listening, but don't be like email us. Well, I'm not gonna tell you where to do it.
They know what
they
the email what is, man.
We said it earlier. All right. If they listened this far, they listened to the earlier one.
All right, either way, send us an email.
High.
Hit us on
they
Facebook.
They might be high.
Wait,
Vince. Vince, calm down. You need
we
to get this Lego anger out.
For this shit.
And you ruined
it.
We all fucked it. We fucked it up. Nothing is fucked here. Nothing is fucked. It's all fine. No, but seriously, we're really excited to support Staple. We're glad we got these passes with Staple and through Space City Nerd. Jesus is the one that told us we had these. So yeah, email us, Facebook, Twitter. It's all God Hates Comics. Reach out to us. Say you want to go to Staple.
Yes.
That's you can send us an email that just says I want to go to Staple, and the subject can be blank. You just let us know through your comfort, through your communication, that you want to go to Staple, and we'll let the winner know Wednesday afternoon of next week who they are, and then we will announce it on the show as well.
Yeah.
And if nobody enters, you're never going to know. But. I want to thank you all again for joining us. I want to thank again Ulysses Farinas for joining us in his mildly garbled interview. Skype is a pain sometimes.
Skype can be a pain in the ass.
But yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
This is Andrew signing off.
This is Dusty. Go, I don't know. Fuck yourselves. I love you all. Don't worry.
This is Vincent agreeing with Dusty. Good night. God bless, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
God bless. What the fuck?